It felt like every game we were going to go in and win. And there wasn't a question. There wasn't a fake, you know, bravado. Didn't have to do a whole lot of rah-rah. I was like, we got the talent to kick ass. We had the right people. We had the hunger. And you could sense that shit in OTAs.
I'm Chris Long, and this is American Prodigies, Becoming Great. On this podcast, we highlight the fascinating career journeys of current and former football players. Each episode, we take you on a trip through a player's life, and along the way, explore what it means to be great. Today, we're diving into the story of one of the top right tackles in the league right now. I know that firsthand, because we spent 2 years together in Philly kicking each other's asses. My ass was kicked more than his. He's a Pro Bowler, an All-Pro, and a Super Bowl champ, and he's been open about his struggles with mental health. He was also named after the main character in a Luke Perry movie, and he cut his teeth digging graves, but we'll get into that. Our subject is Lane Johnson. Picture yourself in East Texas. That's where Lane's from. If you're imagining dusty roads, 10-gallon hats, and bull riders, you're in the right neighborhood.
Your dad was a rodeo dude, a bull rider. We talked to him on FaceTime last night.
How was that?
It was like I was teleported to East Texas. It was remarkable. Tell me about your pops and his bull riding background.
Yeah.
And what it's like growing up in East Texas. What was it? Groveton was your high school?
Yeah, Groveton, Texas. And so I went there from 9th to 12th, but I was in Cold Spring, Texas.
Do you become an adult like really early when you grow up in East Texas? Is it just like you just go out there when you're a toddler?
Some people tougher than others.
And you rope a steer and you were digging ditches in a graveyard?
No, I was a grave digger.
In high school. So I guess they call that grave digging, not digging ditches at a graveyard.
Yeah,
I would sound like a narc if I rolled up on a grave site job.
Yeah,
if I called it, hey, let's dig some ditches, they'd be like, no, we're digging graves.
Yeah, ditches are don't go in graveyards, bro. What the hell? I don't know what the hell's. Hey, are you sure? You sure you're not still off after that movie? After Shutter Island, at Shutter's Island.
So your dad rode bulls, and you.
Yes,
dug holes that they put caskets in.
So first of all, my dad's
super. You look like a grave digger.
Huh?
You look like a grave digger.
Hey, let me tell you something. That's where these traps came in. Pulling that damn 50-pound anvil bar, chipping that rock there at the bottom. Hey, you'll learn about dirt.
So you worked to how long as a grave digger?
I think it was for a summer or two.
Just a summer or two.
Yeah, so, I mean, this wasn't, you know, I worked for the funeral home. So I made sure the funeral home was mowed, weeded.
But you didn't have to go in the funeral home.
Yeah, sometimes.
I don't do funeral homes.
I had to dig the grave. Then I had to set it up for a funeral and make sure everything was set. So when this casket goes on the son of a bitch, it doesn't cave in. Okay? Could you imagine that?
I could not.
Yeah. I don't
want to. It sucks for everybody but the guy in the casket because he doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
No, but his family does. So we'll just leave it at that.
But you didn't have to go in there and deal with anything in the, like, you know, the, with the actual. You
no,
have to
I did not embalm
any.
Anybody. No, I did not go
I
in there.
I had some
deals.
Buddies that did that, and that's just not a job I'm interested in doing at all.
Me either.
So, but your dad was a bull rider.
Yeah, so my dad rode, countryest dude you've ever seen. He's about 6'7", about 200 pounds. He's, his hands are about this long. Just a goofy guy. I mean, his calling, he should be a stand-up comedian, to be honest with you.
He was pretty funny on the FaceTime.
Unique individual. He's been doing construction, bro, for you know, 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
He can do any piece of equipment. But basically what he does for different subdivisions or whatever terrain it is, they want the runoff of the water to be a certain way.
Right.
So the runoff goes, you know, so it can flow out, drain the land. So he does that. But before he got into that, bro, his thing was he was a bull rider. And so anybody that's familiar with the sport of bull riding is, you know, a lot of these guys are very tiny, you know, 5'6" to, you know, maybe 5'10", 5'11". And he was 6'6" out there riding these bulls, bro.
Yeah, he's a bit of an outlier. Does that make you more injury prone in the bull riding world?
No, I think if you're going to get it, you can't stop what's coming. What's that movie? No Country for Old Men?
No Country for Old Men.
You can't stop what's coming.
Yeah.
You're not going to outmuscle a damn 2,000-pound bull. Whatever's meant to be is meant to be.
What was the worst injury he told you about?
He said he got stepped on. It said it collapsed both of his lungs. Fluid built up. He had to spend about a week in the hospital. But he's seen people die, get stepped on.
He was bragging last night on the phone about, what was the story? He jumped out of a four-story.
Yeah, I was like, I was telling Chris.
This is some bull rider shit. Only bull riders do shit like this.
And he said, was his friend, first of all, his name was Billy Bob Hutto. And he's like, Billy Bob's saying he won't jump. And I was like, so you jump for the four-story window? I said, Lee said, Lane, it was a five-foot pool and it was a six-story window. And he said, what do you say happened to him when he hit the bottom of the pool?
He said, I did a cannonball and kneed myself in the fucking jaw.
Hey, legend. Yeah, so basically I was named after Lane Frost, the bull rider.
Really?
So, yeah. So the movie 8 Seconds with Luke Perry, that's kind of... At least that's what
I thought that was a porno.
At least that's what my parents told me.
I thought that was a porno.
They were lying to me my whole damn life.
Between digging graves and listening to his dad's bull riding stories, Lane also found time to play a little football. But he didn't start off at tackle. Our boy made his mark at quarterback. Meanwhile, he was also playing baseball, basketball, throwing shot put, and was active in the Future Farmers of America. That's right. My dude was out here raising steers. At the end of high school, and I gotta tell you, this annoys the hell out of me, he graduated as valedictorian. Thanks for making us all look like lazy pieces of shit, Lane. Now remember, because our guy is still a quarterback, he wasn't highly recruited out of high school. He ended up at the JUCO program at Kilgore College. At Kilgore, Lane took on the backup QB role. He could beat you with his legs or sling it a mile down the field. Coming from a smaller high school, he was a bit raw, but it was clear to everybody around him that he was a beast. Lane ended up undefeated as a college QB. I mean, he only started one game, but he got the W, so there you go. At spring practices next season, Lane stepped in as a tight end and pancaked a linebacker. That caught the eye of a Southern Miss recruiter. Soon enough, TCU and OU caught wind, and they were offering him as well. The Sooners scooped him up. New places, new faces, new positions. At OU, Lane moved from tight end to DN, and then, eventually, offensive tackle. It was a grind, but Lane's always been one to embrace the grind.
OU, where I went to college, was pretty hardcore discipline.
Yeah.
So I lived that life.
Yeah.
The grind paid off. During his junior and senior seasons, Lane would start 23 out of 26 games, making a name for himself as a versatile, uber-athletic player.
After the 36-yard gain, fires in zone, Stills, pulls it down, touchdown, Oklahoma.
It was at OU where Lane experienced what he considers his most fun play at any level of football.
Man, there was one time in college. I got hit. Okay, funny-ass story. Stu's name was, I think his name was Jake Latimer, like Latimer from the
program. Oh, yeah.
Long hair, we're playing Iowa State. Guy has hair down to his shoulders. All silver teeth. He goes over there and we have a RPO where I'm man on the backside.
Yeah.
And he just kind of can't get away from me.
Yeah.
Uppercuts me in the balls, bro. Hard as fuck.
Did he?
Hard. Next play, I told him I was going to fucking kill him. Didn't even go against him, but we had a deuce block. And I fucking threw the three technique, bro, over just out of the damn frame and went up to the linebacker just,
So you're like a video game
boss.
That was
the funnest play of my career.
So he thought that you were like a video game boss, that if you got hit in the balls, you were going to die.
Hey,
but
I
it actually
did.
Was like a trigger point for you.
It was trigger point therapy.
You got stronger. You don't hit Lane Johnson in the sack, because he'll turn into... It's like he's on PCP when you hit him in the balls.
I've turned into Gordon off of Dodgeball, the old man with the glasses when he got angry. That's who I turned into.
The movie recall is terrific.
By the end of his college career, Lane was being touted as one of the top tackles in the class of 2013. The Eagles nabbed him fourth overall.
The Philadelphia Eagles select Lane Johnson, tackle, Oklahoma.
As a rookie, Lane had some growing to do. The dude was a little on the skinny side.
Time flies. I remember when you came out of college, I swear to God, I looked at you the first time I saw you. I was like, there's no way this guy has an anchor. He's too skinny. He looks like the tight end.
Yeah.
That you ended up at OU from a JUCO. You started out as a tight end and a quarterback.
Yeah.
You end up as a tackle. You come in the league, and I'm like, this guy's kind of skinny. There's no way. I'd love to test his anchor out. And then little did I know, I had to go against you in practice for 2 years.
You have a hell of an anchor. You anchor to me. I don't know what it is, the way you reset your hips or you anchor at the last second. There'll be a moment in there where I think I have you bowled. And then at the last minute, you're really able to kind of arch your back. And how do you do that?
Yeah. So for my rookie year, I was giving up, you know, every time I gave up a initial bull rush, I would probably stagger about 3 yards.
Yeah.
Just trying to catch my anchor. And then now that's kind of controlled. I think it's a lot more with the timing of the hands.
Yeah.
The hands and the feet. And I guess all that energy hitting at one time instead of being kind of scattered. But, you know, I guess after years of, hey, taking ass whoopings, you better learn a better way to cope with it.
And you did. Luckily, Lane got some valuable guidance from a legend at the tackle position, Jason Peters. JP, to me, is not only a Hall of Famer, an all-time great, obviously, in Philly.
Yeah.
I played against him in Buffalo and never got a chance to play against him in Philly. But the guy is a legend. But,
yeah.
You know, a lot of great players don't want to pass it on to younger players.
Yep.
And one thing I noticed about him is he's very open with the younger players. He wants to help.
That was right away, too, when I first got there.
Yeah.
And I guess it's probably his family. Like, his family, every time I met him after the game, they're always very welcoming. That's just what kind of people I think they are, and that's how he's brought up. Yeah, where do you want to start with that guy? We got lots of stories.
How talented is he? Give me some anecdotes on how talented he is.
So when I,
because he can still beat me in a foot race, and I'm about
he hate. I don't want to admit it, but it was a few years ago. We're in the bubble, and he was kind of running around after practice, and so I started running, and we got in a full blown sprint, bro, and he beat me.
Oh yeah,
and I was going, what the fuck's going on around
here? He's about 10 years older than you. And about 40 pounds heavier.
50 pounds heavier, guys. So when I think of just talent-wise, I can't think of a guy that could be as talented as him, like, in their prime, because of how, you know, he's 6'4 and a half, and then he's 350, 360. And whenever I heard about that weight, I was like, there's no way this guy can move. Like,
no way.
At all.
That's a mauler. That's all that you could do.
Yeah, I was thinking slow, and then I went out there. I was like, bro, this dude has quickness like a DB. And I was like... And then when I got there, my rookie year was like in his 9th or 10th year, and I see that, and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. But he was helpful.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, right away. I mean, it was – we grew up pretty – I guess we're both from Texas, so I guess our personality is pretty similar. I like to joke a lot. He likes to play around some, but just kind of clicked, and, yeah, he's just like a beacon of knowledge.
Now, if a player's struggling in the O-line room, he's never going to make them feel worse about themselves. He's always going to
build them up. No, a lot of stuff, he'll pull you aside, away from kind of the crowd. That's kind of – even when he's coaching. And a lot of times, I mean, even he knows young players that you're getting told so much, you're kind of getting information overload.
Yeah.
And I think what he does a good job is kind of backtracking and give the guy a few simple things to work on. And that's what he helped me with. Okay, man, hey – long as your hips are low, as long as your feet are moving, and you're in a good athletic base. And the one thing he always told me is that the defensive end is going to react off what you present him.
Right.
So you throwing hands, are you not? Are you low? Are you, you know, watching a lot of his tape early on, he was a big jump setter. I mean, he still does it now, but that's basically what he does. He would just hop on people, bro. Look like he was hop, hop.
Yeah. And just one big step, and
hey, that's not,
and you're in
that's
golf.
Not nobody. That's Julius Peppers. That's Jason Taylor. He's doing that too. And it's just, he makes it look easy and effortless, and that's hard to do.
Lane ultimately won the training camp competition to start at right tackle after Dennis Kelly went down with a back injury. Early on in the season, Lane battled through some rookie struggles, and in typical Lane fashion, he had an unorthodox way of dealing with them.
Yeah, it's probably my third game. We're playing against Kansas City. And, I really don't know a whole lot of guys in the league, but I remember going out pregame warmups, and there's a dude number 50 on. His name's Justin Houston. I go, look at this son of a bitch. Is this son of a bitch doing chin-ups for the game? And what the fuck's going on?
What's going on with these triceps?
His triceps were about fucking 3 times the size of mine. Guy comes out there and just fucking sweating. His eyes are fucking this big. And I was doing well the whole first half. I got Mike Vick back there. You know, I'm fucking pimping. You know,
I'm
blocking. Yeah, I'm blocking for Mike Vick. This son of a bitch can scramble out, you know, get 20 yards. That's who he is. And then, like, the last, it was the fourth quarter, bro, fucking 3 sacks in a row. I was trying to jump. What happened was I was vertical setting, and he was coming in bull rushing me. And so
inside shoulder.
And so I was trying to jump set him. The sacks I gave up was jump sets. And so I went out there over aggressive, trying to get on him fast. He just swiped the fuck out of me 3 times, bro. Same shit.
Yeah.
Went out there and, yeah, got back in locker room before I even take off my pants. I got fucking Les Bowen. I love you, Les, but.
Hey, Les is actually pretty cool.
He won't even say something.
But he'll the Les just says a statement. So he got beat with 3 sacks today.
Yeah, it's not a question. It's a, yeah. How do you feel?
No, that's a question.
Yeah.
He'll be like, Justin Houston's pretty good at football.
Yeah, I'll say, yeah. You see the fucking those 3 sacks he got on me? Fucking destroyed me. And after getting bull rushed by Dwight Freeney and giving up fucking 3 sacks to Justin Houston, I just shaved that shit off and been a different man since.
I think when you go through a rough time, you need major. I do this a lot. Like whenever I want to go get a haircut or, you know, shave my beard or I'm going through something. So that's always, yeah. I don't know what that is.
What is that?
I don't know. You think that's going to fix whatever problem.
Is it a Darwinism survival technique?
I don't know what it is, but I think it's one of those things where you're like, oh, everything's going to change for me. I'll be able to block Dwight Freeney if I just shave my head.
If I can just look tougher, have a tougher exterior, maybe I'll get tougher on the inside, huh? And anchor down on the bull rush.
The head shave strategy worked out for Lane. He ended up starting all 16 games. The Birds finished first in the NFC East before losing to the Saints in the wild card. Next season, in 2014, Lane was suspended the first 4 games of the year for a positive PED test.
Eagles offensive tackle Lane Johnson facing a 4-game suspension for testing positive for PEDs. I'm Jim Baskell with the latest.
When Lane came back, he only gave up 1 sack the rest of the year. In 2015, Lane started all 16 games, including a couple of left tackle when Jason Peters was injured. Lane was starting to blossom into a star. In 2016, the Eagles signed Brandon Brooks at right guard. Besides beefing up the Philly O-line, this move had a huge impact on Lane, who gained a new best friend.
You talk about Brooks. I mean, Brooks has been a, you know, you guys don't go anywhere with each other. We joke about it. You guys, I'd say you fight like old ladies or an old married couple.
Yeah.
And.
Oh, yeah.
Why is that you guys are so tight? And that you guys found each other, it seems like, almost immediately when he came to Philly.
I don't know. I guess our personalities are similar. I think just from the perfectionist point of football, I would say he's a lot more classier than I am.
He's
made a lot better decisions.
He has?
Not as impulsive decisions. Okay. Yeah. But other than that, yeah, only child. I grew up with his mom. And then I think we just love fucking with each other, man.
Yeah.
And sometimes it gets bad. We get real pissed. Won't talk for a week. Just like you said, like an old married couple.
But who's more sensitive, you or him?
I want to say him, but there's times
where you can be sensitive.
Yeah, there's times where I just shit. I'm a shit house, bro. And then then I get exposed, and then we make up, and then here we go again.
It's time for sports. Juices is here, and there's a little bit of trouble in Eagles paradise tonight, huh?
Yeah, we've been down this road before with the Eagles right tackle. According to multiple reports, Lane Johnson is facing a 10-game suspension for a failed PED test. He is reportedly appealing.
Lane ended up only playing 6 games in 2016 after getting suspended for 10 weeks for a second positive PED test. Look, I'm just giving you the facts here, and I can't sugarcoat it. It's a tough deal. People are going to wonder. People probably continue to wonder. But that's the reality when you make a mistake in the NFL like that, and it's something Lane's lived with for a number of years. After 2016 wrapped up, the 2017 season came around. And as I'm sure y'all know, that was a special year.
It felt like every game we were going to go in and win. And there wasn't a question. There wasn't a fake, bravado. Didn't have to do a whole lot of rah-rah. I was like, we got the talent to kick ass.
We had the right people.
We had the right people. We had the hunger. And you could sense that shit in OTAs. You could see it. You're like, well, you know, I've been around some teams. I've seen some good football teams.
Lane started 15 games, gets his first Pro Bowl nod, and made first team All-Pro. That's the practicing against Chris Long effect. As for how the team fared, well, you know the story.
Wentz can't find anyone, spins away, under pressure, still on his feet. Now he fires downfield, and it's caught by Nelson Aguilar for an Eagles touchdown. 58 yards.
Four men on the rush. Keenum looking for a block. Gets it. Robinson for the touchdown. And Foles able to get away and throw. Pass is caught. Jeffrey, touchdown.
13-3 in the regular season. Carson goes down. Nick steps up. We notched some playoff wins. Then came the Super Bowl. What do you remember about that Super Bowl and being in Minneapolis and the Mall of America and the experience?
Yeah, it was, first of all, it was cold as shit outside.
So cold.
So no interaction outside. I think it all went by pretty fast. It was all kind of a blur, even that, you know, the whole playoff thing, just because I feel like we didn't put any pressure on ourselves because, we weren't expected to do shit. And so it was kind of, well, if we can do this, man, we're going to be heroes. You know, we're going to be. Do good here. If we can win this game, man,
everybody's already counted us out. So, what do you remember about the origin of the dog mask? Because
it's you,
yeah. But we were sitting there.
I think we were talking about all the, you know, people. Peter King said this, and we had all the articles posted kind of all over the building, just everywhere in the bathrooms. Every stall has, hey, this is what you're expected to do, and was get our ass kicked. So, and then you said, hey, man, since we're underdogs, we should get some underdog mask.
And it looked and sounded like the dumbest idea.
It sounded fucking stupid.
But like, then it ended up on the inside of our Super Bowl.
I'm stupid enough to go buy something like that.
No, but you were on the purchase. So we were sitting on the training room table. I remember bringing it up, and you loved it. And I said, well, I'm kind of slammed right now. I don't think I can get this order in. Do you think you can handle this? And you were like, yep, we'll get this thing ordered. Somehow you found, initially, I don't think it was supposed to be a bulldog, or I don't think it was supposed to be a German Shepherd. I think we were looking for some other breed.
Yeah, but I mean, are you trying to get a Dachshund mask and put it on? Are you trying to put a Yorkie or Yorkshire Terrier mask on?
I don't want the one that Bo had on. Bo had that weak ass looking dog.
Bo had the never ending story dog with his face on.
Aslam?
Yeah.
Blunt swings to the outside, inside the 10, Blunt to the end zone. And they're going to snap it, and it's Trey Burton who throws caught. Foles, touchdown. How do you figure? They go to the very, very, very back of the playbook for the touchdown.
What a play call by Doug Peterson. This play call has a chance to be remembered as one of the all-time greats.
Clement flares out to the right, caught over the middle, and to the end zone, Zach Ertz for the touchdown.
When it comes to the Super Bowl, there are two things I remember about Lane Johnson. Number one, that he looked bored out there. I mean, legitimately bored. There was no one that challenged him in any way. And that was kind of the theme for our offense. On defense, however, we were having some struggles, much like the New England defense. Maybe not as bad, but in the third quarter, Lane walked over and very sternly asked that we get a stop. Couple minutes later, we got to stop.
Uh-oh. Brady gets hit. The ball is out. And Philadelphia has it. Derek Barnett comes away with it. And for the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought is over. Finally.
After the game comes the parade.
The parade was
What do you
funny.
Remember about the parade?
I just remember Kelsey, I was just chasing Kelsey the whole damn, we were on one bus to another, slapping people's hands. I just remember looking everywhere, and it was like I was in Call of Duty. There's just people everywhere. There's people in fucking trees. There's people in buildings. There's people coming out of the windows. There's people coming out of the damn sewers. There's people everywhere. And everybody had
But unlike Call of Duty, they like you.
They like you. They want to be your friend. They're not trying to kill you. They want to be your friend. It's the opposite. Call of friendship.
Call of friendship. And by the end of the day, how about when we were standing behind the podium and they were like, y'all want to talk?
Yeah, my eyes were fucking going cross-eyed. I was so blurred.
We were so fucking wrecked. And it's one of those things where you're like, this is a terrible idea, but I also don't know when we'll ever be able to do this again, so we might as well. And we didn't talk about a plan.
We didn't. We were just trying to, just really trying to represent Stone Cold Steve Austin to the best of our abilities.
We tried.
We tried.
And people loved it.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
People enjoyed it.
If I had to do it all over again, if I knew I was going to speak, I may have come up with something a little bit longer, maybe.
No, it was short and sweet, and that was great. You left Kelsey to do the hard work.
Please welcome the underdogs,
Chris Long and Lane Johnson. Of all time, Lane, kick it off, baby.
A one, a two, a three.
E-S-G-L-E-S Eagles!
2017 was magical. 2018 was a little bit tougher. So the hardest part is 18 trying to replicate it. And there's a fine line when you win a Super Bowl between ignoring the elephant in the room and then like leaning into it too much, like talking about, hey, we're not gonna fall in this trap, but like you talk about it all day and that's all you talk about.
Yeah,
is a trap.
Don't fall in the trap.
So how do you do it if you're a coach after a Super Bowl? How do you do it?
I don't know, son. We fell in that damn trap and had to turn so fast, turn that damn cream into butter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know.
Two mice fell in a bucket of cream, huh?
That's the old. The old adage that so many people use.
Catch me if you can. That's where it came
from. Okay, catch me if you can.
Yeah. So we were drowning first.
Yeah.
Then we resurrected. And it was tough. And I think that's where I found a newfound appreciation for, I can't name their names, but for that team, just because they're expected to do that year in, year out. And, yeah, you do. It is a new change of perception. It is a new focus because you could feel when the teams that you played, they were trying to tear your ass up.
Oh, yeah.
The Super Bowl champs, that's good. Let's make a statement. And that was true.
Despite the targets on all our backs, Lane's 15 starts earned him a second Pro Bowl. In 2019, he earned a third straight Pro Bowl.
Only time I feel validated is if you make, I guess, you're seen as a Pro Bowler for that season means that you played up to your potential, means that you, that's how I validate it to myself. Now, there's different opinions, and there's obviously lots of guys that are very deserving that don't go.
Right.
But I don't know. I've kind of built it up into a monster, and I want to be that every year. And I feel like if I'm not that, well, I'm declining in something, you know, like a standard. But I don't know. But really, it's a big ass party down there. I think Kels is going to be down there, and I'm kind of excited just to drink beers. And hey, we're not there having to fucking force feed eggs and go to practice in 30 minutes. We can just chill and drink a beer.
So that's the truth. Yeah, but part of it is it's like, you know how good you are, and to me, you're a premier tackle in the league, right or left tackle.
Yeah, but I would say it all goes back to ego and how you feel.
It's exactly
right.
It's
all bullshit, just what you said. It's all bullshit.
Lane also earned himself a sweet little contract extension, making him the highest paid O-lineman at the time. 2020 brought new injury struggles, and Lane only played 7 games. 2021 had some ups and downs as well. On the bright side, Lane scored his first touchdown on a play appropriately called East Texas.
Off the fake to Boston Scott to the end zone, touchdown, Lane Johnson, the right tackle.
Is he going to get up there, Kenny? Oh, he can't get up there.
Is that a linked leap?
I don't know what that was.
He also missed a few games because of his battles with mental health, which he's been very outspoken about. How do you, as an athlete in your prime, manage your health mentally when it comes to separating yourself from the game?
I mean, a lot of times I think if you're good at what you do and then you get so obsessed with how good you are, you get really damn insecure. And so a lot of NFL players, I can speak for myself, I think a lot of guys are really insecure and you put on a persona.
We all do.
You put on this show, but I mean, we're just like, we're humans, bro, just like everybody else. So the thing is communicating.
Yeah.
And, you know, and knowing that, you know, I'm lucky with Brandon and some guys on the team that are very similar. So we can talk it out because we're very similar in that aspect. But yeah, it's just the ego is the monster.
Lane's not done yet. I think he's got some great years ahead of him as he continues to solidify his place in the NFL landscape and grow that legacy. I know I was pretty old when I got to Philly, but I will say this. There were days where I thought he was the best tackle I'd ever played. His relentless pursuit of technical excellence, perfection really, the work he put in the weight room, the extra reps, the footwork, the anchor, the unorthodox hand usage, He is something else to watch. He's even tougher to play against. He made me better in practice. Another thing about getting old in the NFL is you need some friends. You need people to keep things light. You need people to make your day more fun. You've seen a 10,000 of these things. A Wednesday practice needs a Lane Johnson. I needed Lane Johnson. He's not only one of my best friends in the world, but he's somebody that made my 2 years in Philadelphia even more special. The fun we shared at the parade, that was just a little glimpse into every day. And for that reason, he's one of the best teammates I ever had and the best players I ever played. Once again, I'm Chris Long, and this is American Prodigies Becoming Great. Don't forget to subscribe. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps us out. Check back next week for a new episode. Thank you so much for listening. Be great out there.